all the difference. We make banking easy with real estate specialists and loan officers ready to help you. Stop by Heritage Bank on Highway 3 or contact us at heritagebankmn.com and see how the professionals at Heritage Bank can help you build your future.
And we are back on the KYMM Morning Show. Joining us in our studios now is District 58A State Representative Christy Purcell. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well, and a happy Mother's Day weekend for you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And fishing opener, too. Yeah. Yep.
The governor is probably out this weekend doing the fishing opener, wherever that's at. I'm not even sure.
It's the Mankato area this
week. Mankato.
It is.
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I would have gone to that.
Same.
They're going to get rained on, though. Well, you can go to Girls Night Out tonight here in Northfield.
Well, I'll be headed back up to St. Paul, where at least yesterday we gaveled in 11:30 and then reconvened at 5. So, a lot of hurry up and wait happening right now.
Yeah, I would imagine. Has it been, you've had some big things happening, and it's kind of the time of the year where if you're not in a conference committee, you kind of sit around and wait, I would imagine.
Or if your conference committee has done its work, like mine,
yes.
Then it's, yes, a lot of hurry up and wait.
Okay, let's talk about the work that you've done. First of all, the Ag Bill. You're the Ag Vice Chair. It's passed through the conference committee
yes.
now, both House and Senate and the conference committee. Yep. So we're presuming the governor is going to sign it next week.
I am really hopeful. I hope that's a signing that I get invited to. There's a lot of my fingerprints on that bill. And it was really interesting to see how the committee process worked to try to reconcile the Senate version and our version, which were quite different,
mm-hmm.
And then come up with the final product that I'm really proud of.
Yeah, let's talk about that final product. What are some of the highlights in there for you that you've been working on?
Well, I would say two of the really big ticket items. We have seen a lot of a handful of elevator failures mm-hmm. over the last decade, probably. So one solution that some states have come up with is a state fund so that if and when that happens, the farmers aren't left holding the bag. Because what happens is the farmers drop off their grain. They may wait to get paid, but sometimes it's they drop off their grain, and before they get paid, the elevator declares bankruptcy. So the farmers don't have their money, and they don't have their product to, like, go bring somewhere else. So we have seen that be a huge problem. I mean, an entire year's worth of income disappear.
That would ruin a farm.
Yep, it sure could. Yeah. And we know that it has. And so what some other states have done is set up this grain indemnity fund. And Minnesota has not had that. And we are going to start by putting $10 million in that fund. And the hope is that it might get up to $15 million, and that would be kind of good insurance for mm-hmm. for the elevators and the farmers who are, you know, this is part of the system that makes it work.
Are there other aspects that you have been of that farm bill that you are ag bill that you've been working on that you'd like to bring up?
Yes. So there's also because there's some federal funds that are available. So Minnesota has this program called Dairy with an Eye, and we have set aside, I think, $4 million to encourage dairy farmers to participate in this federal program. So this is just one-time money. It's just in fiscal year 24. So trying to make sure to get the word out to people that then, you know, the state is able to help them pay for their portion of participating in this federal program, which is, again, like some assurances for dairy farmers. There's also money for farm to school. There's money for emerging farmers, soil health practices. There's a policy in there about how if farmers have a contract with, say, the Gates Foundation or other places who are, like, buying carbon credits, sometimes in those contracts there's, like, a non-disclosure clause. So there's a piece of policy that I was able to carry that says, nope, in Minnesota, if you're, you know, carbon farming and you're farming for those carbon climate-friendly practices, you get to talk about what the rate is that you're getting
mm-hmm.
to try to, like, supersede those non-disclosure pieces, because we think that's only right is for farmers to be able to talk to each other about that.
Christy Purcell is with us, District 58A State Representative. The legislative session is winding down. Bills are getting passed or not passed, whatever the case may be. One of the big ones that did go through is higher ed bill.
Yes,
and that's made a lot of headlines. And there have been, you know, it's a lot of people have interest in that with the University of Minnesota, the enrollment, some of the things that are going on with there. It's it seems like we're kind of at a turning point for education, at a pivotal time for education. Tell us about what do you know out of that bill?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, the word I was thinking of was inflection point. So we know that enrollment numbers are going down, just like we're seeing in our K-12 schools in Minnesota as well. And that's because of a lot of different reasons. This higher ed bill, which I did not serve on the committee, so I don't know, you know, the deep ins and outs, but I know enough to be dangerous. This higher ed bill is really hopefully kind of a Hail Mary and a lifeline for our state colleges and universities, as well as the University of Minnesota system, really investing there in ways that we haven't for a long time. And so it's a little bit hard to know, is it the chicken or the egg? Is it because we have not been investing in our you know, public higher education systems that the enrollment is going down, or vice versa? So this is hopefully something that will help revive these systems that are so important, being, you know, a land-grant university at the University of Minnesota. And I believe in our Constitution, it says that the state will pay 2/3 of the cost of that education and the student will take on 1/3 of the financial burden. And that hasn't been the case for decades. So trying to sort of rebalance to make college affordable and make sure that it's a worthwhile investment.
Do we know, or do you know, I guess, are we losing students to other states? You know, we have the reciprocity with Iowa, with Wisconsin, and probably some other states as well. Are the students migrating to a different place? Are their numbers down as well? Any idea?
I think, I don't know for sure, but I think it's a general trend. I mean, you see the cost of college that makes it feel not worth it for some folks, or it makes it unattainable for some folks.
I want to ask you about a couple other things I know you haven't been directly involved with, but there's been a lot of talk, and that is, the first one is gun safety. I believe is the House has been working on some gun safety measures involving background checks and you know, putting in some red flags. Have you had anything, any conversations on that? Do you know what's going on there?
I've had lots of conversations about it. So I've been learning largely from constituents, which is great. And, you know, local leaders here and around the state. So I think something like a red flag law, the like law enforcement is more interested in that. That's a tool in the toolbox for them to, you know, if there's someone who they are worried will harm themselves or someone else and has access to firearms, that's a tool to be able to temporarily separate them from their firearms. There's other, you know, gun rights groups who are less excited about that, that, you know, they think there's sort of no circumstances in which a person should be separated from their firearms. It's so interesting that we're having, you know, this debate at the state level while we see, I think it's, you know, like at least 4 gun violence mass shootings, or not even mass shootings, but just like, you know, shooting first, asking later of neighbors and children and police officers. We're seeing, you know, Western Wisconsin, here in Minnesota. Like, so for me, it feels like, okay, I don't know what the perfect solution is, but it sure needs to be something, because our children are dying. It's a pretty horrific scenario.
From what I've seen, do you have the votes for that? I mean, the Democrats have the majority, but but it's not by a whole lot.
Right. I presume that's above my pay grade.
Okay.
I presume so, because it seems like these things are moving. But I... Yeah, We'll right. find out.
And I guess one final question that I have is, what about marijuana? Are we going to see that cannabis bill? Where is that at? Is that in committee now?
Or? Yes. So I know it's in conference committee. I think I looked at the schedule for today. I think they're maybe having their first public hearing about it. And in those public meetings, that's when they like adopt certain provisions. So I think it will get a little clearer on sort of how far that has yet to go. I'm sure that the chairs have been discussing and trying to work out the differences ahead of the meeting. But I presume that that's going to happen and go through, but it's not something I'm immediately a part of.
The legislative session, constitutionally, I guess it would have to end a week from Monday.
Yep.
But the governor has kind of put a earlier date on that. Is that correct?
The Speaker of the House has told us we will be done on the 18th. And I shared that news with someone at the Capitol yesterday and they laughed in my face. So, maybe we'll be done in the House and we'll be waiting for the Senate and the governor. I don't know. I've never done one of these before, but I'm sure hopeful. I'm ready for a break.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And it's a recent history for the legislative session would suggest that, maybe 4th of July. There'll be a special session at some point, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
We'll find out. We'll find out. Yeah.
Christy, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Jeff.
Christy Purcell, State Representative for District 58A. You're listening to B? A.
A.
A,
got
I
it.
Got that right. Suddenly questioning myself. We've got Rich in with local news headlines coming up in just a moment or so.
Dr. Michael Ritchie, Ritchie Eye and LASIK, we're swinging into spring. Spring is here and it's time to get outdoors. Hiking, biking, boating, walking, or running. Let's make this a spring free of glasses or contacts. Ritchie Eye and LASIK will help you swing into spring with up to $500 off all of our LASIK treatments.
Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center, Faribault. World-class LASIK, small-town traffic. RitchieEyeClinic.com.
This news update is brought to you by Northfield Retirement Community. Rooted in Christian values, Northfield Retirement Community supports independence, dignity, and quality of life for the aging by providing innovative living options and services.
At Northfield Retirement Community, making a difference in the lives of our residents is our number one goal. Hi, my name is Jody Neal. I've worked for NRC for over 35 years. When asked why I've stayed so long, the answer was easy. The residents. Not only does what I do make a difference in their lives, but they have also made